What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today as Steph and Draymond both speak to the media just about where the team's at right now and their leadership styles. We got some injury updates as well as why I think there are better days ahead for D'Angelo Russell. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's good, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's going on? The Dubs got an 11-point win over the Pelicans. Last night, two nights ago, whenever it was, their first win of the season. And Steph Curry and Draymond Green have been vocal about where the team is at. Draymond a little harsher than Steph. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. But he, after the first two games, you know, he would say the team sucks, we're not working hard enough, this and that. And it's brutally honest. And probably correct. The team's not very good right now. But there were people who came out, former players, who thought it was the incorrect way to handle the situation and how to lead. And so after the first win, Draymond comes out and had something to say of his own. Here it is.
We're still not a very good team. We have a lot of room for improvement. Just because we won one game doesn't mean we don't suck right now. We still have a lot of improvement to do. You know, when I said we suck last night, I see a lot of people blew it out of proportion. A lot of former players who ain't never let blew it out of proportion. We suck. And we're still not very good. But, you know, I've actually known how to lead my entire life. So, you know, those that have never led shouldn't probably talk about leading. But, you know, we just got to continue to get better, and we got to continue to compete at a high level. First two nights, we didn't do that. Tonight, we did. But we still have a lot of room for improvement. You know, some people look at that as a negative. Depends on how you want to look at it. It's a negative or a positive. But you know, I know this team got a lot of improving to do, and we plan on doing that. But right now, we're not a very good team. That's just fact of the matter. We probably got seven guys under 3 years of experience. You know, so getting those guys' experience under their belt, and you know, as leaders of this team, we continue to try to bring it every night and get them something to follow, and you know, we'll win some games.
So that was Draymond after the win against the Pelicans, more lashing out towards his own critics. I think Richard Jefferson might have said something about, you know, that's not how you lead or something like that. But you have to understand where Draymond Green is coming from. He has been on the best team in the league for the last five straight years. He knows what a good team looks like, what good basketball looks like. And he can see that the Warriors aren't playing it right now. And he also points out how young the team is. And you're just not going to be the second, third youngest team in the league and have a bunch of guys 23 years or younger with 2 to 3 years experience in the NBA who are going to be locked in professionals. And I'm not saying they're unprofessional, you know, locked in, high IQ, understanding the day-to-day nuances of the NBA. And those are just facts. And Draymond, you know, has a way of delivering them that some people might not like. My only problem with it is, I mentioned it before, after the first two games where he's talking about the energy sucked and this and that. Well, he was part of that, though. He was part of the energy sucking, and he wasn't super high energy or high effort in those first couple games. So that's my problem, is if you're going to be throwing those stones, you better be the guy hustling, diving all over the floor, doing every little thing that you're criticizing other players of not doing. So that was my one problem with it. And then the only question I have is, you know, Draymond Green mentions that he's been leading his whole life, and he has, and, you know, I understand all that. But the question to me is, similar to coaching, is some people don't react to certain types of leadership the same way. You have to coach players a certain way. You have to lead certain players a certain way. And are guys going to respond to Draymond Green just continually saying the team sucks all the time in the media? Is that the proper leadership tactic for everyone? I don't know, and I don't know what happens behind closed doors. Maybe he does know that certain people need to be loved and praised rather than torn down. But in the media, he's doing a certain different way. Who knows? But as far as whether it's good or bad, those are my only critiques of Draymond's pretty entertaining, first three media sessions. So at the very least, he keeps it honest and entertaining. So I'll take it. But as far as some of the critiques are concerned, I don't have many. I trust Draymond to lead just as long as he's playing as hard as he can. And that was my only problem, was I didn't think he did in the first two games. Steph Curry also mentioned how this team is new and coming together, and just how it's easy to try and tear down the Warriors, especially after their 5 years of dominance.
Everybody loves to label you when you're down and when you're losing. That's easy. It's easy to get on TV and say whatever you want. It's easy to just throw darts at a team that's trying to figure it out based on how much success we've had. So I'd hope people could start to see through that and understand what we're about as a team and what we're going to build towards. That's basically it. If you want to get on, say whatever you want to say, fill that 24-hour news cycle, that's cool with us. We're still going to hoop and just play basketball.
So there's Steph, pretty diplomatic as usual, but again, bottom line with him is we're just going to keep hooping, and you can deal with it. So I know some people are like, why do they care so much about what other people say about the team? And maybe they do, maybe they don't. The bottom line is they're answering questions that are being asked of them. So I hope these questions about the media stop and they become more about basketball, but they're just answering questions. It's not as if they come in and say, look, I want to talk about the media today and who said what. They're answering questions that are being asked. So it's annoying, but oh well. Steve Kerr was asked about his game plan and why the ball isn't really in Steph's hands more, and why it's not almost Harden-esque, like James Harden down in Houston, why they're not trying to do something like that. And I'm sure you imagine Steve had a response.
I just, I don't know that it's that simple. We could turn him into James Harden and give him the ball every play. That's really hard to do, and you have to build a team for that too. Houston has put five shooters on the floor for years now with Harden to give him that space. We don't have that that kind of personnel, so there's not the same spacing, and that kind of basketball wears you out too. Especially for a guy who's 180 pounds like Steph is. So I don't think the answer is just run a million high screens. We don't really have the personnel for that, and I don't think it makes a ton of sense from Steph's standpoint. But what we have to figure out is how can we free him up better, and those are the things we're exploring every day. How can we free him up without having the floor spacing bigs that are popular around the league? So trying to create space, trying to create penetration, trying to create clean looks, and an offensive rhythm within all that. That's the challenge. That's what we're working on.
He makes some good points, but also I think that it would just absolutely kill Steve Kerr to play that kind of basketball. It goes against everything he believes in when it comes to basketball, to play one-on-one ISO ball all day with Steph. And you know what? The size thing is valid, because James Harden is thick with two C's. That's a big boy. Steph definitely is not as big as James. James might have 40, 50 pounds on him. They're valid points, but again, I also think like Steve Kerr would quit before running an offense like that. And not that, all of a sudden the Warriors are going to be the best team in the league because Steph has a usage rate of 60. But it just it's a funny thing to think about, funny response. We got some injury updates that I missed from the game against New Orleans. I also want to talk about why I think D'Angelo Russell has some improvements coming up on the horizon, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering the code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's LOCKEDON at checkout. So in the game against New Orleans, Jacob Evans came out with an injury that was described as a left adductor strain. Don't know how long he's going to be out for, but that is why you only saw him play 3-plus minutes in the game against New Orleans. And it's also part of why you saw Damian Lee get, you know, 30 minutes in that game, but also because Damian Lee was balling. And that's one thing the Warriors are going to take advantage of during the season and right now. The nice part right now is since the G League season hasn't started, these days don't count against the 45 days you can spend with the team. Once the G League season starts, that's when the clock starts ticking on his 45 days. But Jacob Evans, as I said, he got hurt in that game. He's was out for that game. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the game tonight against Phoenix, which should be a good one. Look, Phoenix has played well so far this season, even without DeAndre Ayton. We're going to talk about that game in just a minute. But as far as Jacob Evans' injury goes, I don't think it will affect whether they pick up his third-year option or not. I think they definitely will. But one thing that I started thinking about recently, and I know it's only been a couple of games, but Amari Spellman and his third-year option. Before, to me, during training camp and stuff, it was just a no. No, we're good. We're not going to pick that up. But through three games, he's proven himself to be better than we saw in training camp. And it's because he's playing with such high effort, such high energy. It really showed the New Orleans game. But even in the first two games, he was diving all over the floor. Tons of effort. If that's going to be part of his game while still developing his jumper, because that jumper is real, it just needs time to kind of smooth out a little bit. If the Warriors believe that over time, this high energy game that he's playing will mesh with what the scouting reports were about Amari Spellman, that he's a jump shooting big. If those things come together, you might have a solid player. So it just depends what the Warriors' belief is when it comes to that. The bottom line is, before the season started, it was a hard no. We're good. But now that he's played three games and shown something that I didn't see before, at least, with the high energy, high effort, there's at least a question. It's a question now. It's not just a hard no. It's a, you know, let's talk about the pros and cons. So we'll see. But with his performance in three games, it's definitely at least made it more of a question. And that's the best compliment I can give at this point, which is a good one. It's a good one. One guy who has struggled a little bit, I guess you could say, he's just not as efficient as you'd like. D'Angelo Russell so far he hasn't come in and been perfect, but he also hasn't been terrible either. But there's a reason why I believe that there's a big improvement to come in the coming weeks, is because Willie Cauley-Stein will be back. And I know the thought of, well, one player, one center who's okay, how is that going to have such an impact on a guy like D'Angelo Russell? And the reason is, D'Angelo Russell is at his best. His most elite skill is when he's in the pick and roll, decision-making and creating and finishing in the pick and roll. They don't have any pick-and-roll bigs besides Willie Cauley-Stein. Marquese Chriss hasn't been as good as I thought he would be in the pick-and-roll. Willie Cauley-Stein, we know, is a damn good finisher in the pick-and-roll. So I think once Willie Cauley-Stein comes back, we're going to see a much better D'Angelo Russell. And not that he's playing out of place or anything like that. He just hasn't been able to take advantage of his best attributes on the floor because there's just no pick and roll big. There's not even pick and pop big even. So I do think once Willie Cauley-Stein comes back, we're going to see improvements from D'Angelo Russell just overall because he's going to be able to do what he does best. And then I think people are going to see what Willie Cauley-Stein brings to the team and be pretty ecstatic. I mean, that's the thing that sucked about this preseason was him getting hurt and not even getting to see him play a minute of basketball with these guys because he was one of my favorite pickups of the offseason. Regardless of what happened, regardless of which way they took the team, you know, whether they ran it back with Clay and Andre Iguodala and all them or, you know, made the move with D'Angelo Russell, I would have loved to have Willie Cauley-Stein on the roster regardless of what they chose. So I've been really excited about him. He should. Well, I don't want to say should, but he's been practicing a good amount, been out on the floor. Him and Smiley Geach were down in Santa Cruz working out. We could see Willie Cauley-Stein back during this homestand, which I think will be a big boost for the Warriors and for D'Angelo Russell. Dubs are playing the Suns tonight. Going to go over that game a little bit, some league pass picks, and some more news from Draymond Green, which is pretty damn cool, too. Going to talk about that in just 1 minute. Dubs taking on the Suns tonight. Like I said, the Suns are a good team. They're playing like a good team. I'll give them that. They lost last second to the Utah Jazz on just a stupid foul by Devin Booker, where he fouled Donovan Mitchell at the end of the game while he was driving, and Donovan Mitchell hits a free throw. They end up winning by one. So I don't know. I just hate losing on a free throw. That's pretty whack. But again, it's also part of the Suns just showing that they're still young, still learning a little bit, but they're 2-2, and if they've played impressively in every single game. They beat down the Kings, also beat the Clippers, and their two losses are by a combined 2 points. Each game they lost by 1 point. They're playing really well. I mean, that's all I can say. They're playing really, really well, and they got Golden State tonight. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about was Steve Kerr started that game against New Orleans going small. He had Draymond starting at the five, Glenn Robinson at the four. I guess you could say Poole at the three, and then Steph at one, and D'Angelo Russell at two. And it worked out. They were able to get out and run and play well. Now, one of the things with the Suns, they're still pretty long, but they don't have DeAndre Ayton, who is their big banger inside, where if they're starting Baines, who's still a big guy, but Draymond can match up with him, or Frank Kaminsky, Draymond can match up with him as well. So even though I don't think that going small is going to be a season-long thing, as far as the matchups are concerned, I think it's something they could do again tonight, especially after the success they had doing it against New Orleans. We'll just have to wait and see, but I don't know. I kind of like it. I kind of like that idea, especially without DeAndre Ayton, obviously. If Ayton was starting, I think you would go with a more traditional lineup with probably Chris starting. But the thing is, you know, Draymond, he wouldn't be dealing with the physicality and the banging of DeAndre Ayton if it's Baines and Kaminsky. So I don't know. I like it personally. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but you never know with Steve Kerr. You honestly never know. Draymond got some other pretty cool news recently that they are going to be retiring his number 23 at Michigan State. You know, not a whole lot more to it, but it's just awesome. That's awesome, especially knowing how near and dear Michigan State is to his heart, that they're going to be honoring him in that way and retiring the number 23 for him. You know, that's a pretty serious number to retire. So just wanted to get that out there, let everyone know. I'm sure you already did, but if not, yes, Draymond Green will be having his number retired at Michigan State, and it's pretty damn cool. It's pretty damn cool. And congrats to Draymond Green. League pass picks for tonight. We got 11 games. We got a full slate. A lot of good ones. I think the main one I'm looking at right now is T-Wolves and Sixers. Right now, these are the two leading teams, the two number one seeds in their respective conferences. T-Wolves in the West, Sixers in the East. Obviously, it's three games in, but both teams are 3-0. And, you know, the Karl-Anthony Towns-Joel Embiid matchup is really intriguing. Two of the best big men in the game. And I know people are going to call me crazy. If I had a choice of who I would want on my team, it'd be Karl-Anthony Towns, personally. Health has something to do with it. Also, his three-point shooting as well. Not to say Joel Embiid isn't a beast, but that's just where my preferences lie. But it should be a good game. And then as far as the second league pass pick, Bucks and Celtics looks interesting, but I'm still just not very high on the Celtics. So I think I'm going to have to pass on that and go with Clippers Jazz. Both 3-1. Clips are, as you all know, I think the best team in the game. The Jazz are, I don't know. I'm still not entirely sold on all the moves they made. I know a lot of people love them. I'm still trying to figure it out personally. And it's tough too when you see them win by one against the Suns. It's like, okay, are the Suns good and they, you know, barely beat a good team? Or are they still the same old Suns and you just barely beat them? So I don't know. But Clippers, Jazz, and what was it? T-Wolves, Sixers are the ones I'm looking at tonight. Thank you guys so much for listening. And real quick, I just want to let you know I have a very big surprise coming on Friday. I think you're all going to love it. This podcast is going to be something different, something new. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. But we're going to have access like we've never had before. And I think you all are going to love it. So look out for that announcement on Friday. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.